Chajuba Dutami Kapsuchi, Dali Chinengi Bensonangi, Jova Kenshi Sange Jova Shu. So first of all, begin by adjusting your motivation, thinking that you are here in this occasion to receive the most profound Mahayana teachings with the ultimate aim of benefiting all mother sentient beings. With this thought, please adjust your motivation for listening. Okay. All right, so we continue with verse 73. It says, hence, in fact, there is no disappearance of the world through nirvana. And then, asked whether the world has an end, the conqueror remained silent. Okay, so basically, these four lines, they come as a verse, but the first two lines refer to what we have been discussing previously. So it begins by saying, hence, in fact, there is no disappearance of the world through nirvana. So previously, we refuted inherent existence by saying that it is the entity possesses parts, so it's the whole possessing parts, and also we say because it undergoes momentary disintegration, there is momentary change. So we use these two types of arguments to refute inherent existence. So now someone comes up with a follow-up idea, and he says, take for example a vase, or it could be any other entity, but he says, take for example the vase. When the vase is not destroyed, so when the vase is still abiding, is there, when the vase still exists, that thing inherently exists. But when it is destroyed, the inherently existent becomes non-existent, because the inherently existent vase that was there before is now destroyed. So this is what someone is saying.
Mm-hmm.
So what are they saying is that initially you have something that is inherently existent. So they say the vase is inherently existent, and then later on that thing becomes inherently non-existent through the force of an antidote. And in this example of the vase, the antidote is the hammer that smashes the vase. And our response to that is that you cannot have something that is inherently non-existent, because to have the inherently non-existent, previously to that you must have had the inherently existent, and then through some means you destroyed that and it became non-existent. But in the first place, there is no such a thing as the inherently existent. So you cannot talk about the inherently non-existent or the becoming non-existent. It was not existent to begin with. Okay, so as you can see, this verse here, 73, begins by saying hence, meaning therefore, following from that logical argument that we just had. In fact, there is no disappearance of the world through nirvana. Okay, so the word world here talks about cyclic existence, and it includes everything worldly, everything that comes with samsaric existence. Therefore, it includes the suffering, the birth, aging, sickness, and death, but also the origin of that suffering. So it says, the world, so suffering, samsaric suffering, and its origin does not disappear through nirvana. So it says, it's not that those samsaric suffering and the origin of samsaric suffering initially existed inherently, and then you applied some antidote and you did some practices, and as a result of those practices you obtained the state of nirvana. And now that you have obtained the state of nirvana, those previously inherently existent things, now they have disappeared. They have become inherently non-existent. So we say the world does not disappear due to nirvana. Why? Because from the beginning it was not there. It didn't exist as inherently existent entity. So this word here says there is no disappearance. It is to understood that there is no new disappearance, right? Meaning that it was there in the beginning and now something new has happened, and due to that new change it has disappeared. There's no such a thing. It wasn't there in the beginning, so it's not newly disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then the last two lines says, asked whether the world has an end, the conqueror remains silent. And as you can see in the outlines, this comes as the reason for not holding the world as having an end. So this particular issue that is discussed here, whether there is an end to the world, is one of the 14 unspecified views. So you had non-Buddhists who approached the Buddha and they asked questions. For example, they ask questions, you know, will the self become non-existent? Is there is an end to the world? Is there a beginning to the world? And so forth. There were 14 such questions. And for those questions, the Buddha did not give an answer. Not at all. Neither yes nor no. He just remained silent. So these are called the 14 unspecified views. And the reason for that is because they were coming from the position of understanding everything as inherently existing, right? So they're saying the world that inherently exists, is it going to come to an end that inherently exists? That was really what was behind the question. Or, you know, this self that inherently exists, is it going to come to an end? Inherently existing, non-existent, and so forth. So the Buddha gave a response to that, supporting their views. Yeah. Uh-huh. But Buddha...
嗯，问题他的这个细节，前面两点了，对吧？啊，中医说，那这个呢，中医讲的也严重。Okay,
so what? Just unspecified views. Four of those have point. Four of those have to do with it. Four of them have to do about nirvana, 12, and then there's an additional two, body and life force, or different entity, right? So
20。他问给他的那么细，他啊，他只是啊，他只是打完针，他其实不打的，那么不理解吧？他点名的，他啊，他的几年，他打都出吧，他其实细下呢。 아니 집을 꾸용으로 다발에 미다발에서 다가 다발다와지 미다발다와 이가지 이가다와 다다지게 다발다와 다발지게 다발 미다발 이가다와 이가 많이 다와서 다 문이 다가 때문에 좀 말았다 전에 지도와 와 예린 다다지게 심리겠다 다다 대만데 이가다 이가 많이 많이 심어 와 봤을 때 아니 아 때가 중요하다
Look a little bit more closely at his five views. Now remember, there's views about the person, the world, different states, okay? And world, they always believe that it has a self. So this is their position, right? With that in mind, they start asking questions of those views, have to beginning. And then the following, an end. But again, interpreted as previous, right? Previous. And future lives, there will be other future lives. For the first one, the first group of four, they are asking if have a permanent self. They don't have a permanent self. Or, so this is the list of, they have this permanent self. So in the early stage, let's say, okay. Then the next group has to do with in the next life. Next life, or there will be continuation, there will not be, or neither. The four views about nirvana, sometimes get them, but you don't have to specify that it is self that has been liberated. So someone has been liberated. So self of the person has been liberated. Whether there will be another rebirth for that being, not either. And then the last two is about the life force, whether they are or inherently different.
这三个当然不是其实那你结果的但苍蝇的不主那你大概怎么写的怎么主导大概怎么主导你大概怎么主导但是那公司他主他主席
As I say, they asked all these question point is that there is, so you can say that all these questions are about views, that sense. So when they're asking, is it both, is it neither, a truly existing permanent self, an impermanent self, is a truly existing something which is neither. They're all... Say when they approach the Buddha and they ask these questions, the majority of them and their position is that there is a self. So they take this as the basis, which is the truly existing, the Buddha, to tell us about the current basis. So you say we have a self, self-permanent, or is that self-impermanent? It makes sense to start discussing of a basis that does those characteristics of, and actually it will be completely being, is it permanent, is it impermanent, of something that does not exist, established itself. So an answer, the only answer you could have, this self, you want to know whether it is permanent, existing self, does not exist. A fundamental position about the, why? Because they were not suitable, self does not exist, because they, okay. So it was inappropriate to that answer, so the Buddha remained. He say that the Buddha silence, so he did not specify, didn't comment at all. We have experience of interpreting or explaining there. Was due to the fact in relation to which certain impermanent were discussed that the truly established, inherently does not exist, it will be of that basis. and say to these people that the basis does not actually exist for that teaching, and for that reason, so that is one reason, is this. The questions there are self and the world. Okay, is it permanent? Okay. Now, the self here can be understood to rigid upon the aggregates. And then to those five aggregates that are the base, those five aggregates are your own personal, okay? So the aggregates. And the aggregates that are things are not established in their own characteristics or from their own nature, established dependent by origination upon each, because they are not established the way that think they are established, because on their own side, okay, it would make no sense to discuss and the world or the person and the aggregates. These people who are asking the question be told that the person and the aggregates are dependent, originated by depend. They cannot hear that. So therefore, this. The next verse, verse 76, teaches this profound doctrine to worldly beings. The all-knowing is therefore known. This clarifies the issue. It says, because he did not teach these beings who were not receptacles. Receptacles here means they were not to receive these teachings. He did not teach, since the basis, permanent, impermanent, and so forth, is to talk about those characteristics. That the basis they are describing does not mention is, again, they were not vessels, found dharma of the lack of suitable vessels to hear about dependent the aggregates are merely established by dependent. So, the doctrine, this profound view of inherent existence to them, because he could see suitable receptacles, they were not suitable. The last two lines begins by saying, because he did not teach, knowing is therefore known to the wise to be omniscient. Buddha could actually see that they were asking the question, they were non-Buddhists actually, to hear about the profound essence, and therefore he did not respond. Merely not giving a response, that's why the one is omniscient, because he actually has what should be taught, what should not be taught, not an occasion to teach. He fully understands the inclinations, the capacities who are suitable receptacles, and to those who are not suitable to hear those, to those who are suitable to hear about those things, being able to fully know those things and discriminate, not giving a response, this is omniscient, and therefore he's known to be. We'll continue with the next verse. The doctrine of definite goodness was taught here of reality as profound, baseless. So this of the profound. So, as you can see in the outlines, this and we have three parts in the conquerors. Thus, the doctrine of definite is the Dharma, which is definite goodness. Definite goodness refers, and the Dharma, or the teaching that becomes emptiness. So, the teaching of emptiness taught by the perfect Buddhas. It was taught repeatedly. And says the seers of reality. Oh, and then he has reality. The Tibetans, just one, because it's the Buddha, the one who seer of everything, right? So, you can say seers, because there are many Buddhas, the seers of everything, as and baseless. So these three of emptiness. Emptiness is unapprehendable. Means, let's wait for the airplane. Apprehend, or it does not grasp. And the last one, baseless, a base that is inherently features of emptiness. It is profound. It does not accept any base that is. This term here, baseload properly, just as you know, it could have wrong interpretation, right? So we need to understand the base, what is missing. So the word for base, I think you could say a target, focal object, right, or something upon. And the thing is that if you consider truly existing, and if you the type of grasping upon which all afflictions will be generated. And the most important thing, the target, the initial target gated, it must be destroyed from Master Shantideva, from engaging. He says, the mind that possesses vocal basis before you negate any other. He describes that the first thing that particular basis, it becomes the focal object of your, to which you generate that grasping, is that it's negated and becomes baseless.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask a question? So destroy the object is that you're saying?
Yes.
My mind's not that strong enough. Could I, before that, meditating the benefits of patience or...
Yes, yeah, yeah. I was thinking about the...
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so of course there are many other practice or other remove. If you need to remove or complete from the seed, then
So recognize what is your target. Address that target right at the beginning. Target that you generate that grasping destroyed. If that is not destroyed, afflictions are keep generating. Of course, they're going to. Yeah. So, of course, on patience, on love, creation, and so forth, but what they will do manifestates of afflictions. Afflictions completely from the root, eradicate them along with their seed. Eradication is what we're talking about. So we say that at the moment we keep. So you have to understand where are those afflictions that come from. Inappropriate attention. You are paying attention to appropriate manner, and that is operating. You are superimposing. To stop that process. Uses where you think that really existing. Pleasant. So you have to go down at the very root. And once you destroy that basis, the tension, there's not going to be any superimpositions in relation to that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We're obsessed in the concept. We abide in conceptual mind.
I guess like conceptual mind's not always delusional, is it? Concepts like even the Buddha, a Buddha has actual mind, like it's
Buddha doesn't necessarily has to be a negative emotion, but it has to be illegal obstacles to achieve perfect realizations.
Pollution.
Always or negative imprints or emotions or in negative self to achieve perfect realization. Then you have to change of the conceptual thought you can't achieve. Yeah. Means direct experience. In order to achieve your direct expectations, so you have to change thoughts. Is always appears a mistaken mind, but yet it's a mind.
Mistaken the same as delusions?
Not delusions. Not necessarily has to be delusions. Yeah. So you mind, yet object conceptual mind, because of polluted. Negative or negative emotion because of polluted, so now appears truly in an existence that object doesn't exist.
Yeah,
realization of emptiness because of
that's that post meditation, like
any realization of conceptual mind, any. So the deva.
The thing is that there will be these discrepancies and the way that things appear in a different way. Even if it is conceptual, even though the way that things exist, nevertheless, so even at that point, the way is not, there's discrepancy between the two, which they appear is when you have area equipoise. But if you're not at that level in realization, they don't appear as the way they exist.
Tadi tuanjur mah tuanjur, mondo yung yang sunen yabe jibu, mondo tadi zonga siom yilegi yu yang sunen yabak, mondo zonga tadi sun simbol. Tuanjur mah tuanjur, tuanjur mah sukar ni, ya, yang jer dah.
As you can see from the outlines, we have reached a point of summary. We have covered quite a bit of material. What is the nature, what are the causes, result of these practices in terms of the higher status, and then in terms of definite goodness, which in the nature, the causes, the practices, the result. In particular here, we have stressed that the practice that will allow you to reach liberation of emptiness. So after polarization, what happens is that it addresses the king, and he's going to repeat, make a king to take on these practices. He advises, and some of those have already been taught, but they are given emphasis, emphasizing the point and saying is indispensable, and you understand selflessness of the man. So, reiterating that it is important to practice the substantial cause, and the substantial cause here is to assess selflessness in relation to the person, is because grasping at the self is the root of samsara itself. That will give rise to all types, so on and so forth. Therefore, emptiness, the realization of emptiness, it, without it, regardless of the lesser vehicle, whatever you're doing, real self says in Bodhisattva's ways of nation, of emptiness, there is enlightenment of the hearer, there is no enlightenment. So there is no, unless you realize the state. The, We continue with the next one, verse 70. By this baseless doctrine, dancing beyond existence and non-existence, ruin themselves. And then the fearless abode, ruined. So here he's talking about the faults of.
Never remember the name. target she passions. Mumbai Gashin. Mumbai Gayatri. Tinzina Galil Takana. Mumbai Gashin. Zina Zumai Shashin. Gaushi or his water. To Suzuki Ponland and Zibur Zumai Shashin. Gaushi or his Gashin. Gashin. Yoda made Matevas. Takata. And then Mabach. Chatter Mates. That can take it. Tomani, Tazina, and that. Dinzina, 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 Tatinina Mateus.
Okay, so verse 70, by this baseless doctrine, Dharma, and it refers to empty. So again, we have the word baseless. What are we saying is that true grasping considers the base, to but the base does not exist, that it is apprehended the way that it is inherently to exist, the way as it is grasped. There is no baseless. So the Dharma of the emptiness, the view of emptiness, right? Who are the ones who are intelligent beings? Those of low, what do? They delight in, so they are frightened of the base. Delight in the base object, they take that target, the target of their true, and then pollute an imprint of true grasping, the way that things appear to them, they never add things. So they're very happy the way that they think things in that base, they delight in all things, and they are happy in this, not passing beyond existence and not two extremes. You can say it is the extreme and the extreme of non-existence. So they're not challenging anything. They don't go beyond intelligent ones. Okay, so as we say, right in the base, and they are not passing beats because they believe that if they were to that things do not truly exist, that you have reached the extreme of, so they do not want to challenge that position beyond that extreme of existence. They are the unintelligent, wrong type of apprehension. They ruin themselves.
Jimmy,
The first few lines of verse 77 about ruined, they ruin others. The fearless abode, the fear refers to emptiness. And fearless, afraid, right? Fearless for that particular state, the state of emptiness, that instance of the self, of the person, right? So they are afraid of something, right? But they are afraid of that. And being afraid of emptiness, they ruin themselves. Having ruined themselves, they ruin others. So their friends, in terms of practice or use of Dharma with them, also becomes ruined.
That
So it says here that because they ruin themselves, they are ruined in two ways. Is that everything truly exists. Emptiness is telling them, the view of emptiness is that existence. They do not exist truly. Hear that. They, in their perceived, are saying that nothing at all, it doesn't exist at all. Okay, exist. So the person does not exist. You know, so frightening. So they are afraid. Fall into the extreme of nihilism. Since for them it's like negating everything of that extreme of nihilism. Then you cannot negate that things exist. And then they end up with the extreme that the person that apparently exists as permanent entities. So anyway, either through the extreme of nihilism.
Sustaining, preserving, spreading.